Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune of Coramdale Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. Today, we're talking again about sex and gender.
And we're without our conversation partner, Dusty White, who's taken a couple days off.
Yep.
But we have added in a new conversation partner who I will introduce in a moment. But first of all, I want to summarize where we've been the past few weeks, Mike, just to catch people up since we're trying to sort of build out a theology of gender and sexuality. What we've said thus far is that we're made in the image of God, and that God, because he is not a body, not a corporeal being, is neither male nor female. And if we understand Genesis correctly, it says that God made us in his image, male and female. He created us, and therefore, only in the fullness of our complementing one another in our gender and sexuality do we fully manifest and display the image of God. And so the fact that we are male and female is not accidental. The fact that we are sexed and gendered beings is not accidental. It's foundational to what it means to reflect the image of God in the world. And then that has implications for how we think about things like gender and sexuality and gender roles and what it means to be a church and reflect a healthy and biblical and robust understanding of gender and sexuality. And we've also observed that these are places where right now in our culture there's a ton of confusion and a ton of pushback and a ton of just a lack of clarity on what does it mean to be male and female. And so we've tried to frame out a little bit of that in the past couple of weeks. And this week where we wanted to begin going is just in more specifically in the direction of femininity and masculinity. So if it's true that we are created in the image of God, male and female, how then do we pursue a biblical masculinity and a biblical femininity if we want to see these things complement one another to give a beautiful picture of what God is like and to fully reflect his image in the world? What does that look like? And so I invited my friend Barb Mosley. Welcome, Barb, to the show.
Thank you.
Barb is a friend and someone who's been a part of Coramdale for a long time and who has, I think, experienced some of the fullness of this in her own story. And so I just wanted to ask you to sort of talk with us about your journey, Barb, and your story. So the backstory on Barb is she's a very driven, successful woman with leadership gifts, had a very successful career in public relations. I actually asked her to come work at Coramdale for a period of time because we needed that kind of leadership when it came to helping us build the systems and structures and processes that it took to get our church stable. And so she came and worked with us for a while. Now she's a mom to three and not working outside the home. And so she's a very talented and skilled woman and one that I think when I first met you, you were sort of coming out of the whole feminist world of, you know, rah-rah, career, goals, achieve, you know, make a name for yourself kind of stuff. And I think, as I recall, there was some sort of wrestling that you did early on to sort through, okay, what of that do I need to reject? What does it mean to embrace a biblical view of femininity? How do I need to let the Bible deconstruct and reconstruct my understanding of sort of womanhood? So, Barb, when we first met or when you and Nathan first started to come to Coramdale, which was probably 7 years ago, 8 years ago?
8 years ago, yeah.
And how long had you been married at that time?
We came 2 months after we were married.
Okay, so you were brand new.
Yeah.
Where were you at in sort of your own understanding of womanhood at that point in time?
Yeah, so I had just kind of gone through sort of a, I don't know, a mini identity crisis, I guess. As I was preparing to get married, I started asking people, how do you do this whole Mrs. So-and-so? I wasn't sure I was comfortable being Mrs. Mosley or Barb Mosley because I had this identity as Barb Kolbaum and who she was. And so what was it like to be a half of a couple? Or I just didn't know what it meant to be someone besides myself doing my thing, having my agenda. And so God has really been good to me through just little tiny baby steps through marriage, through kind of shutting down my career path for now, perhaps permanently, I don't know, but through through parenting. God's just been really good in showing me just really slowly how my worldview of femininity was very lacking in what God has to say about who I am and who women are, who he has created us to be. And like you guys have talked about in the last couple of weeks, I grew up Lutheran, and so I thought I knew what that meant. I thought I knew what being a woman meant, and I began to realize that my understanding was actually more culturally based than biblically based.
When you say it was less biblically based than culturally based, what did you sort of assimilated from the culture about your identity? What pieces of that were resonant with you? And would you say that, yep, at that point in time, I was kind of, you know, here's what the culture was saying that was shaping me in my understanding of what it meant to be a woman?
Yeah, so I think kind of an undercurrent that was happening in my life was, and I want to be real careful because I don't want to disrespect my parents. I love them very much. But I witnessed what I thought was a biblically based marriage, but it wasn't complimentary, as you guys have been talking about the last few weeks. It was my mom was submissive past the point that I think the Bible asks for. And so what I saw through, I guess, my own eyes was that she kind of took on my dad's identity and didn't really have a lot to say on her own, didn't have a lot of hobbies or really any joy outside of her husband and her family. And again, I don't want to talk badly about my mom. I love her. But that was kind of my view of, well, that must be what God asks. That must be what the Bible says. And so.
And that's certainly not who you are.
Right, right. And so I think I kind of wanted the opposite of that. I kind of ran from that because I didn't like the way that looked. And honestly, now my parents are divorced and I see the consequence it has on my mom. It's really hard for her because she just doesn't really know who she is. And so I just really turned to the culture because I did grow up Lutheran, but I did not grow up knowing the Bible and I didn't know what God said. And so I couldn't go to the Word and say, who does God say I am? How he made me beautifully, perfectly, to be a nurturer, to be someone who can be soft. I think, so I turned to the culture, and I think what the culture says, without really realizing it, those things are bad. Being soft, being emotional, being taking care of kids, or I don't know, being compassionate at all, or being caring. For some reason, I think it, so, I don't know how it formed in my head, but what I saw as appealing was someone who could get stuff done, could hang with the dudes. Like, I don't want to be told that I'm not equal, right? So that was important to me. And what's so interesting is I can't really pinpoint how these things were formed. And so I think as Christians, we really need to be aware that that is where, especially for raising kids, that's happening. That's happening constantly. And I can't say one moment or one person shaped that. It's my life experience that shaped that in me.
So these things are sort of just being assimilated from the culture around you. You come into Cormdale, you're brand new in a marriage, you're trying to figure out who you are. You've sort of reacted against what your parents' marriage was. You're successful on your own career-wise. Now you're married, you're brand new. So there's a lot going on, yes, sort of identity-wise at this point in your life. I remember that first Redeeming Family Conference that we had, the Lord began to do some work on you. Can you describe simply what sort of were the things that began to be challenged or thought about in that conference that were, you know, either a light bulb or a conviction for you?
Yeah. So Connie Grigsby spoke, and she, I'm just so thankful to her to this day because the Spirit was certainly moving through her, and she just talked about the brokenness in her marriage and some of the things that she would say to her husband, the way that she treated him, and the way that her kids were old enough that they started to bring those things up to her. And she started to see sort of a mirror, you know. And so what she was saying was a mirror to me of how wicked I was, really, the way that I was fully self-centered, serving my own desires and goals, dreams, what have you. I wasn't really considering Nathan or serving him or loving him well at all. I mean, it's hard to explain because it was pretty comprehensive in the ways that I was self-serving rather than submitting to him. And so what she really kindly did was outline, I think it was my first kind of biblical experience of her outlining helper submission. And it sounded, the way that she spoke, in a way that was actually appealing. It was desirable, it was freeing, and it was super convicting. And so I remember just, I mean, it was like a slap in the face, or I don't know, a splash of cold water. It was more pleasant than a slap in the face. Just went home crying and asking Nathan for forgiveness, and just asking him to be, to give me grace to learn, because I mean, I was brand new in that. I mean, I wouldn't call myself a brand new Christian, but that was just one of those forks in the road where you just, you know, you turn a 180 from sin and you say, okay, God, show me what this looks like, because I don't know.
Yeah. So, Barb, one of the things that's interesting to me is that you have, I think, very thoughtfully engaged the questions of what is femininity and what does God want from me? And I'm curious to have you talk about just the idea of submission, because that's such a loaded word to many people, because it carries so many weird connotations to some people, because people on both the left and the right misuse that word. How have you come to understand, and maybe even if you can describe, what does that look like in the dynamic of your life and your relationship with Nathan and you guys trying to walk together through life and raise children and those kinds of things? What is submission?
Yeah, so in my understanding, as I've come to understand submission, I have to look at what God says, because the culture is very loud and it's a totally loaded word, like you said. So when you look at what the Bible says, it's not bad. It's not demeaning. And you guys said some super helpful things in the last couple weeks about it doesn't mean that I'm not equal. God, you have to trust that God perfectly created men and women, and he perfectly created women to submit. And so to do anything other than that is to go against God's will and makes everything more difficult, more broken, more jacked up. So you just have to reckon, at least for me, because I'm a pretty strong-willed, stubborn person, I have to reckon that to be true a lot. And so I have to say, God, I trust you. I trust that walking in the way that you created me is what's honoring to you, glorifying to you, and I can serve you by doing what, how you've created me. So what that looks like for me, honestly, is a lot of repentance. I speak quickly. I'm pretty sharp with my tongue still, even. And so that's a lot of apologizing, a lot of, man, Nathan gives me a ton of grace. But it's also being really prayerful that God would just help me. In terms of priorities, it's not about me. So submission is really ultimately submitting to God and to my husband and what God has for me in that relationship and in my role raising my kids.
How has your view of children changed in the past 8 or 9 years?
Yeah, that's a pretty crazy question. I went to college. I love the working world. I feel like I was doing pretty well. You know, I kept kicking rear end and taking names. I don't know what I can say on this thing. So
Bob said penis last week.
Right,
so
kicking butt and taking names. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I am not really a nurturer. I mean, God made me that way, but that doesn't really feel supernatural to me, which is kind of ironic. And so when I was pregnant with Cora, I honestly was praying that there would be some switch, that I would like really love her. I know that happens, but I never babysat. I never really liked kids, honestly. And so I was like, Lord, when she's born, let's make this happen. And so honestly, it was a switch. She was born and it was like another 180. God's just been so good in changing me. And so just having Cora, just, it's hard to explain, because it was like this new mission, I guess, an understanding of what God was calling me to. And so it isn't just about providing daily needs for kids or taking care of them, but ultimately making disciples. And so it's more about my role is obviously physically caring for them, but shaping them in knowing the Lord and knowing what he has to say and sort of reworking that genealogy, right? So I didn't grow up with knowing and having three girls. I'm in a unique position, again, really surprised. God's quite interesting, isn't he? Giving me these girls where I have to kind of turn from my past and sort of the way that culture shaped me and really embrace what God has to say.
Hmm. What if you were talking to discipling a young woman in our church who's sort of where you were 9 or 10 years ago, you know, early in her career, successful, driven, achiever. What do you want her to begin to know, see, think about related to femininity and womanhood? What would be the things where you would say, hey, this is something that you need to think through, wrestle through?
Yeah, I think the primary question is, what is shaping your view of femininity? Because there are so many things that we don't even know. Everything that we see is shaping that worldview. So music, TV, interacting with friends, maybe even what your parents or peers are telling you. I mean, pretty much everything is telling you something about who you are as a woman. But the question is, how much are you looking at the Bible? Are you looking at the Bible more than those things? Because what is true is what God says about femininity. And I think God will be faithful in shaping that in women if they are willing and soft to hearing what he has to say. So I think in me, there was a willingness somewhere. I don't know where it was, but there was a willingness to hear what God had to say, and he was really faithful. And so I think if you desire to know what that means, and I think it's, I mean, there's obviously one definition of femininity in the Bible, but I think for each woman that looks a little bit different because we're all very different. And that's okay. God created us all very different. And so I think for each of us, we have to reckon with, what does God have for me? And from a feminine perspective. So, you know, you can still work. Do you need to be married? I mean, those are all questions to be wrestled through.
What would you say to a young married woman who's trying to sort of try and learn and fail in these areas of just, you know, living out a robust biblical complementarianism? Because like you said, you know, we're all sinners and we're all immature. And so there's brokenness in every marriage, and there's ways that our masculinity and femininity actually doesn't work together. It fights against one another because of our sin in some ways. So what do you have to say to a young wife who's just trying to figure out, how do I honor God in this marriage? Yeah. What are the best things you've heard or would say?
I would say, and recently we had the privilege of Ray and Jannie Ortland visiting our community, and she was really helpful in kind of putting words to some of the things that I think a lot of us face. And she, Jannie, says that fear, obviously, as daughters of Eve, fear is something that works against us a lot because we desire to control. That's what we want to do, is control, and we will never have it. And so we operate out of this fear because we can never be in control. And so I think as a young married woman, being prayerful that you are following God's will and just being, I don't know, I have to slow myself. I get kind of on this, I don't know, you know, kicking butt and taking names. I just get on this, I'm going to get stuff done and I'm going to make these decisions and I'm going to, you know, boom, 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 cross these things off the list. And those things aren't bad, but we have to stop and consider, am I serving God first and my husband second? And then if you have kids, are you serving your children? And so a lot of times my world revolves around, what am I getting done? What am I accomplishing? Am I doing things well? And it's not about me. So if you're a young woman, how are you serving the Lord and how are you serving your husband? And just, you're not going to get it right. You're just, you, and I don't mean to be discouraging, but it's just a constant, God, what do you have for me today? What are we going to do today? How am I going to love you and serve you? And then what can I do for my husband today?
Some of what I hear you articulating, Barb, is essentially to say there is a thing called femininity and God's design for womanhood that every woman needs to live into. And every woman is also unique, and so there are ways in which that's going to have a particular story and a particular trajectory for her, depending on who she is, where she's come from, what her family background was like, what her particular character is like. So the complexity of this issue is there's femininity, and then there's who I am or who you
Every
are and what that
woman.
Yeah, what that means to get there and to live that out. So what are sort of your parting thoughts on, for any woman who's listening, how you walk that journey?
Prayerfully, faithfully, in community, and with, I think, a sharp awareness of how you're being shaped, because from infancy, culture is so shaping, and we have to work against it. Femininity is working against the culture, and that's hard. Everywhere you go, you will pretty much be countercultural. I think that's what makes it so hard, is that, and you said, I think it was last week, that we want to be unapologetic about living biblically in the way that God has called us. And so we got to be bold. Femininity is being bold with who God has called us to be.
Thanks for joining us today, Barb. Appreciate it. I know the people that listen in are going to appreciate this too. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a leader in another church, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things we're talking about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. We invite you to also join in the conversation on Twitter by tweeting us at @CorumDeoOmaha. We'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.
And that's a wrap, folks.
What was that? What was that?